So this summer we've been continuing in that Finding Faith Off the Beaten Path sermon series. And like you might expect, when you have a certain theme that you're going for as a pastor and you know you're going to have some sermons to preach, we've had some wonderful things from other folks too that I'm so thankful for, but throughout the summer I've kind of looked for different things that might be interesting illustrations or connections to this theme, in addition to Bible passages, that we could look at together during sermons. And it might not surprise you that one of the things that kind of came across my investigation through that was a poem by Robert Frost. I think it's probably the most well-known poem in the English language, which is The Road Not Taken. And so as I was looking around at some different commentary or articles about that poem and thinking that could end up being helpful, I came across one that said, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost is the most well-known poem in the English language, and it's also the most misunderstood. I thought, well, that seems really strange. Like, it's so well-known, I've had conversations with people about it, done things. How could it possibly be misunderstood and so commonly misinterpreted? And what I realized as I looked over the poem and read this person's article was that, we're all most familiar with the last few lines of the poem. And many of you can probably even just say it right off the top of your head. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Beautiful poem, amazing sentiment. That's the thing that sticks with us, goes great at the bottom of an email sign-off or on a sign in your kitchen or whatever it is, right? But it turns out that if you do read the whole poem and think about it for a second, this person who said it was misunderstood was right. Because there's some kind of unusual things about what we assume normally about taking the road less traveled and kind of blazing that path for ourselves and being brave and independent and things like that. So, first off, the two paths that he finds in the wood in the poem, he says are not that different. He says things like, the second path is just as fair as the first that he ends up taking. He says things, the passing there, meaning the walking that people had done, had warned them really about the same. So there's not a road less traveled by, apparently, what he says. He calls them, they equally lay in leaves that no step had trodden black. It's kind of strange. And then he also admits that he can only see so far down the path to know very much about it. So there could have been reasons why one, that he said was less taken or more adventurous and more bold. He's admitting earlier in the poem that he can only look down them as far as he could, but they bend quickly. So he doesn't know very much about the paths or whether or not he's made this really good choice either. And then even before those last three lines that we remember so well, it sounds like he's saying, looking back on his life, right? That the voice of the poem is, I'm in the future, I've gone through all these experiences, I'm looking back and I'm giving you all of my learned wisdom. Actually, what's happening is he's saying the poem to himself at the moment of being at the crossroads. He hasn't taken either path yet. He's not looking back. But he says, I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverge in a wood. So he's basically saying, I'm sitting here. I don't know too much about the past. They look pretty similar, actually. But sometime in the future, I'm going to tell somebody, probably to maybe make myself look a little bit better. There are these two paths. There was one that was clearly less trodden, and so I'm a bold adventurer, and that's made all this difference in my life. Look how great I am. But that's suddenly, when you read the whole poem, what seems to be going on. And that changes things a little bit for how we try to make sense of that and what meaning it holds for us. And I know for me, I had misinterpreted that poem, I guess, this whole time. The fact that I had misunderstood this poem kind of made me feel a little bit adrift. Like I had taken the wrong path of choosing the interpretation of the poem. And that had made all this difference. Because what if this thing that had been sort of formative in my understanding of choices and how you make them and what the implications of those choices are, I had been misinterpreting the message of those choices the whole time. So now maybe I'm making choices and I'm making the wrong choices because I'm making choices for the wrong meaning of choices. That's a lot of choices, I know. But you get the gist, right? That you're kind of like, huh, that's like a really beautiful thing, and it has kind of been inspiring to me, and what have I been doing all this time? And I think that moment, and if you're having it now too, can be kind of relatable to us with things that happen in our faith as well. Right? Have we had times where we wonder if we're going through and doing the right thing or making the right choice in our life? We wonder whether God is approving of what's going on, or whether we're following the path that God has laid out for us. Or maybe we even have moments that make us wonder, have I taken a path that actually takes me away from God? And what do I do if that's happened? And I want to start by reminding us truly, like I did with the children's message, that biblically, I don't think you can make a great case that there are paths that can take you away from God. God is faithful to stay with us, to go through experiences with us. It may be that God wishes that we were in a different type of path, that we were making different types of choices that could have been better for us, but God will not leave us alone. We see that in stories from Joseph, like I mentioned, where no matter how much other people were trying to set him on a weird path that seems like it would be away from where God would be with that family, that God was there with Joseph the whole way. We know that's true with Jonah. Jonah specifically said, I'm going to go the exact opposite way of where God told me to. But God was there the whole time and helped him on the way back. And we can take encouragement from parables like the lost sheep, where God is portrayed as going wherever is needed for even just one of us that's not as close to God as can possibly be. Right? But we have probably all had at least seasons of our lives where we feel a little bit adrift, where we wonder about that path. Has going off the beaten path made my connection with God more tenuous or looser? And I think a lot of times that happens if we're having crises of purpose, where we're wondering, like, do I know that I'm really rooted in something that helps me feel connected to God, helps me feel like things are going somewhere, like there's going to be a point to whatever it is that I'm doing. Sometimes we have those crises of purpose when we don't have as much to do, right? I think with COVID especially, a lot of us have felt that. Like, I had times where I just had to sit around, couldn't go to work the way I wanted to, I couldn't meet with people the way I normally do. So what do I do? How do I have those connections? We've probably all had other seasons like that too. I know sometimes when you make a transition where you're really used to one type of thing and then you go into a new thing, you wonder, am I getting the new thing right? Or maybe I've heard retirement for people, right? Like I've had this whole part of my life and then now that's not there anymore. We can also have that crisis of purpose if we're doing things but we're not seeing the outcomes that we expected. Right? I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I feel like I'm doing the thing that God called me to do. But then it just feels like it falls flat. And is that a sign that actually things are off? If it's not producing all of this amazing fruit just easily and right away and automatically? I think that's especially what Jesus was experiencing in the passage that we read today. So before, when Becky started reading, Jesus is going to, like, he's like, I got to go be by myself because I heard this thing. What he heard is that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. That John was doing similar work to Jesus, calling people to repentance and connection to God. John was even pointing people to Jesus, we know from the baptism. But that created conflict. People wanted to come after John and come after Jesus because of that. And it shows that it could even go to the point of persecution and death. That's not a fruit that we normally want to look for. And then Jesus does a miracle, feeding of the 5,000, after he comes down from praying and he's hanging out and people want to come and say, we know that you can do amazing things, Jesus, help us. And he does. We know the miracle story. But then to Jesus, it sort of reads that it feels like, and so people, but they don't get why I'm doing this, what I'm trying to show them about what God is doing in the world. They just want to keep coming to me with the next problem, the next problem, the next problem. And they're not seeing how we're all supposed to be helping each other and how I'm trying to connect them to God, not just, you know, do one thing that helps one problem in this one moment. And so he goes to pray some more, and that's still frustrating. And then he goes to meet with his disciples, the ones who have been with him the whole time, who he's been telling lessons directly to, who should be getting it unlike any other. and he walks across the water to them on the boat. That's the story that comes next. And Peter calls out, "Master, if it's you and not a ghost, let me come walk to you." Which he does at first, but then he gets distracted by all the waves and loses faith, and he falls in the water and Jesus has to pull him up. Jesus is faithful and kind and gracious throughout all of that, but you can also see this moment where he's kind of thinking, man, even Peter doesn't get it yet. It's hard. Like, we're not just having all sunshine and rainbows as we do this together. There's a struggle. We're figuring it out. And then also we can have a crisis of purpose when we're doing things and the side effects of a process make you wonder, was this really the right thing to do? Maybe even you're seeing certain results, and some of them are good, but you're like, but there's this other stuff that now it's raising all these other questions. And how does God help me make sense of that? And that's like Jacob. Jacob's about to go meet his brother Esau, who, if you know the story, Jacob was the younger brother. They were twins. Esau was the older. And Jacob really wanted the blessing from his father to be like the one in line for all of the special family connection with God. So Jacob basically lied to his brother and to his dad and made it so that he could get the blessing. And then as soon as that happened, he had to run away. And he did get some blessing. He got some wives, got some kids, got some possessions. God was walking with him through all that. But he started to realize, I haven't seen Esau in forever. I haven't seen my parents that much. Esau probably hates me for sure. They're about to meet up because Esau sent him a messenger. And Jacob's partially sending everyone away because he's like, if Esau comes, I don't want Esau to get them all. If he's going to hurt somebody because he's so mad because of what I did, I want it to only come on me. He's starting to wrestle with, what does blessing really mean? What was that just me getting lots of good stuff and I wanted to make sure it came to me and not somebody else? Or is there actually something more to it? More responsibility? More legacy? More things of how I have to think of other people that my life touches and not just about what I get for myself. So when we feel purposeless, when we wonder if going off the beaten path is actually taking us completely away from where we should be, how do we find our faith? What foundational purpose can we root ourselves in to try to find our footing? It is these examples of Jacob and Jesus in our scriptures today that help us see a truth that I think is sometimes pretty hard to recognize. Our feelings about things that happen will always ebb and flow. The outcomes of our endeavors are often determined by things that are out of our control. Sometimes we can be prone to assuming that the point of what we're doing is one particular outcome. And we get super focused on that outcome, and that must be what is going to happen. And then it makes us miss that there's all these other effects that are happening that actually could be good, that God could be working in, but that we're missing because we got fixated on that one thing. And it's true, we need to admit, we need to be honest, that we follow Jesus, the crucified Savior. And so that means a lot of times what success for us looks like is going to look like failure by a lot of other measurements in the world. That we're going to run into things where people are going to be resisting us or even doing things that could hurt us. But that doesn't mean we're not doing the right thing. Jacob and Jesus were experiencing questioning and challenge and turmoil. But their faith and their purpose was in encounters with God. Jesus has all of these things swirling around and he makes sure, I'm going to get on that mountaintop, I'm going to get some space to myself, I'm going to connect with God as foundationally and closely as I possibly can. Jacob's in this moment where he's feeling isolated and under attack from all of his main relationships. God makes sure to connect with him, even though it's going to be a struggle in the way that they connect. And to lean then into this path imagery that we've been going through all summer, what this shows us is that the purpose for them, for us, is in the journey, not the destination. We've heard that type of phrasing before too, I'm sure. But this shows us that God and our connection with God has many of those same characteristics. The purpose is in the journey, not the destination. Our purpose, the importance of faith, is that relationship that we have with God. It's about experiencing our joys and successes with God. It's about experiencing our pain and loss and fear and sorrow with God. It's about experiencing our doubts, our questions, our wrestlings with God. It's experiencing our times of wonder of whether God is actually accepting us, of wondering, if this thing is happening in my life, does that mean I'm not good enough for God? Of being angry at God because something is happening that we don't want to happen. Experiencing all of those things too with God is the point of our life and our faith. To know that God is with us in all of it and to accept that God will love us and be present with us even when things are hardest. And that, by the way, is also the point I think that Robert Frost was actually making in The Road Not Taken. We can make ourselves look a little bit silly, and we'll set ourselves up for disappointment and missing the point of what's really going on when we fixate on things that are outside of our control and they're beyond what we can know. We didn't make the paths. We don't know everything about the path and what's up around the bend. And all of the outcomes on our journey are not just about us. There's other people walking paths too. So we walk the paths. That's the main thing. We feel happy, we'll feel sad, we'll feel energized, we'll feel tired, feel confident, feel confused, feel satisfied and worried on any path that we end up taking, because that is the nature of walking paths. It may be at different times and at different reasons depending on which path that we choose, but we will all have all of those experiences. If we get fixated on trying to find our way to only one particular feeling or one particular outcome, those are probably the ones that we assume are better for us before we've even taken the actual journey and seen what the journey could do for us and what God could do for us walking with us on the journey. We won't make better meaning for ourselves if we only go after that thing that we don't really know, but we just think that we want, and then we'll risk missing the true meaning. So Frost is saying, you walk the path, you make the meaning, and you'll tell people about your journey at the end of it when you go. And God will have shown you all of that meaning. So we walk our paths. And hopefully we do our best to acknowledge that we have the most amazing companion and guide for our journey in God. Hopefully a lot of times we'll recognize where God's saying, hey, like this fork up here, like let's go that way. Okay, I think that'll be really good for you. But it might be that sometimes we don't. And God will still walk with us wherever path that we go on. He won't give up on us. Our purpose and our meaning are in the time that we have with God, together with God, the experiences that we share and how God uses them to form us. Our feelings, our outcomes, our analyses of things, they don't tell us how great or awful we are for being on a particular path. All of those things just give us something to share with God while we're on the path together. And then God will give them meaning for who God is making us during this journey and how we'll persevere and draw closer to God and other travelers on the paths ahead. And embracing this, I think, reframes the times that we have of feeling adrift, feeling conflicted, feeling purposeless and hopeless. And thank God that we have a way of making better sense of those times. Remember, Jesus was facing that no matter what miracles he did, people would still have needs. He was facing that even though his closest followers were learning things from him, that they wouldn't understand him or get things right all of the time. And he was facing that some people would be willing to resist even the good he did, even to the point of suffering and death coming to him. He knew that he had to share that with God and keep walking that path, though. Because all of those things, even the difficult ones, the ones that he would struggle with, were part of the important work that he had to do, including their challenges and questions. And Jacob had to learn that he couldn't just control everything and get all of the benefit of the blessing and none of the responsibility or none of the consideration for his fellow travelers like his brother. God made sure that Jacob couldn't help but share the journey with God, and showed him that even the consequences and the responsibilities and the burdens of the blessing of journeying with God are worth it. And they transform us for ultimate, deeper good. Jacob wouldn't fully become Israel and become the father of a people that needed to know how to be a nation together if he only looked at the blessing and said, I just got to make sure I get the best things for me all the time. He had to know how to wrestle. He had to know how to struggle. He had to know how to understand the doubts and frustrations that people were having and the impact that his desire for his own good could have on someone else so that he could see everyone's good come together. And so the same way that they had those experiences, we too can learn that just because I don't know where I am right now doesn't mean that God isn't taking me somewhere. Just because something seems meaningless in this moment doesn't mean that God can't help me bring meaning to this situation. Just because I'm uncomfortable right now doesn't mean that God has left me and won't be helping me stretch and transform myself so that even this uncomfortable thing fits into who God is making me to be. All our paths will have times that are challenging. All of our journeys will involve painful, stagnant, or even doubting feelings and experiences. But when we share that with God, they all become important and meaningful and good because of how God shares them. They transform us. They mark us for something beyond ourselves, like what happened with Jacob, Israel, ultimately. They help us persevere in what needs to be done, even when it's hard and overwhelming, just like it did with Jesus. So as I was thinking about this and what that means and another way we can take that lesson with us this week, another famous poem, a little bit more specifically God-oriented, came to mind. Again, that's another one many of you may be very familiar with. Maybe you have it printed up somewhere in your house. Footprints in the Sand. You know that one? Look back on my life, saw footprints. There were two a lot of the times where I think Jesus was walking with me. And then there were hard times. There's only one set of footprints. And then I asked Jesus, why'd you leave me alone? He's like, no, that's the time that I was carrying you. Going through the experience with Robert Frost's poem, reading these stories of Jesus and of Jacob, this might feel a lot of sacrilegious to a lot of people, but I kind of feel like my interpretation of Footprints in the Sand needed some transformation, just like my interpretation of Road Not Taken did. Because as I read these stories in other parts of the Bible, I don't think that God is really in the business of taking away our mark on our lives and in the world and on those around us. God, when he journeys with us, is not trying to just take us along for the ride and leave us completely passive and powerless. Because the point that we see, especially where God's saying, come and struggle with me. I know it's hard. I'm not leaving you alone, but we're going to like work on it. We're going to wrestle. You're going to have some marks from this. Is to have deep, meaningful relationship. God calls us and empowers us so that we can join in making meaning about the people that we are becoming and about the kingdom that is happening in the world because we're choosing to participate in it with God even when it is hard. Now, I'll admit, there are probably times in our lives where we know the best that we have been able to do is to like lie back and drag our finger in the sand. And Jesus has been doing a lot of the work. And so we've got this one little line of our fingernail next to Jesus' footprints. But I do think that it's important for us to remember that God does want to share the experience with us, to have mutuality with us, to form us in a way that does leave some sort of mark, and that we can feel encouraged and empowered by that. So I encourage all of us, in whatever path we're on, as individuals and as a church community, to focus most, in whatever season that we're in, on bringing everything about our journey, whatever feeling, whatever experience, whatever thing we think God can't accept, you can bring it and share it with God as your co-journeyer. I encourage us, let's find meaning and empowerment and beauty that God is making for us, even when the circumstances are especially different. Maybe even especially when the circumstances are really difficult. And ultimately, I encourage you, as God encourages you, I believe, as we see in these passages, to make your mark, even if it's meager, because you know that God is sharing a journey with you and making sure that what you share leaves a mark on you as well. Hope we carry all of this with us and think about how we continue to be God's people as we'll be led in a prayer for our offering at this time.